So one of the really cool things about my job is that I get to make new friends with people all over the world. And I don't know if you know, but Judy Chan, we have been supporting Judy for a really, really long time. And it's just wonderful to have her with us again after 4 years of time. We were reminiscing, like, it didn't really seem like 4 years ago, but my kids are much bigger now, aren't they? And so, yeah, that really happened. It's been 4 years. But so it's just been a blessing and a real joy to reconnect with Judy. And I hope you will feel the same after she shares her heart about the stuff that God has her up to. All the way over in Hong Kong. So I would just love to introduce Reverend Judy Chan to you. Will you give her a warm welcome, please?
Thank you. Thank you. I will begin with the reading of the gospel lesson. John chapter 17, verses 20 to 26. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, so that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory, which you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Good morning. I'm so happy to be with you at Salem First Presbyterian Church on Labor Day weekend. And as Rob has said, I am your mission co-worker in Hong Kong, China, through the Presbyterian Church USA. And let me begin by bringing you greetings from the Hong Kong Christian Council, which is a network, an umbrella of the Christian churches and organizations to bring the Christians together to work for the society. I bring you greetings, especially from our General Secretary, Reverend Po Kam Cheung. He asked me not only to bring you greetings from the Christians in Hong Kong, but to thank you for your support of our mission at the Council for these many, many years through Presbyterian World Mission. And so your gifts to the denomination support mission all over the world. And it's been my blessing to serve you in Hong Kong for the past 22 years, since 1994. And God willing, I shall return to Hong Kong for 4 more years in November. When I was thinking what I would share with you this morning, I started with a Bible text. And the text that came to my mind comes from the passage from the Gospel of John 17. And these are the closing words from what's been called Jesus' farewell prayer, the high priestly prayer, the other Lord's prayer, and my favorite, the divine handoff prayer. I'm especially struck by the words in verse 21, that they may all be one. That was Jesus' prayer for all those who would come to believe in him through his disciples. That is, you and me and the church around the world today. That they may all be one. In fact, is the motto of many Christian organizations and churches around the world, like the Church of South India, the United Church of Canada, United Church of Christ, the World Student Christian Federation, and the YMCA. This, however, is not the official motto of the Hong Kong Christian Council, HKCC, but it's close. Our motto is, it says in Chinese, all one in the Lord. And indeed, that's why Hong Kong Christian Council was started in 1954, to bring the churches together in mission and ministry to reach out to the whole community. And our unity in Christ is what has kept us going for the past 62 years. But another reason I chose John 17 as today's scripture is not so lofty. When I thought about the church in Hong Kong in 2016, the word that came to my mind is divided. Divided. I don't think there's ever been a time in the history of the Hong Kong Protestant Church that we have been more divided than we are now. And so Jesus' prayer that they may all be one is something, a message that we need to hear, reflect on, and pray for in earnest. If you remember any news from Hong Kong in the past few years, it was probably about something called Occupy Central or the Umbrella Movement. That was toward the end of 2014. And there was media coverage of thousands of protesters in Hong Kong with a yellow or some other color umbrella facing off against the police and the government. And the issue was democratic reform. Many of the protesters were young people, especially university students and even high school students. And then, you know, it was in the news, and then after a few months at the end of December 2014, it was all over. And people said, well, what was this Occupy Central / umbrella movement all about? It didn't have anything to do with the church. Well, the first thing to know is that the source of grievance that led to the Occupy umbrella movement has been a long time in the making. It goes back to colonial days when Hong Kong was still under British rule. And that ended in 1997 when Hong Kong was handed back to mainland China. You'll see this iconic photo of the two leaders of the leader of China at that time, Deng Xiaoping, and the leader of the United Kingdom, Margaret Thatcher. Now, obviously, those are wax figures, but I found this and it was just too good not to use. But this really is a good representation of the very famous photo of them negotiating what would happen to Hong Kong when it ceased to be a British colony and once again became a part of mainland China. But as you notice, there are no Hong Kong people at the table. So Hong Kong had no say about those arrangements. But the thing that gave Hong Kong people hope was there would be a policy called One Country, Two Systems. And that meant that Hong Kong could keep its economic system, social customs, and all the freedoms that it had unchanged after 1997 for 50 years. Also, Hong Kong was promised that eventually the city would get to elect its own leaders. The chief executive was like the mayor, and we would do that through what's called universal suffrage, one person, one vote. And we'd be the first city in China to be able to do that. Well, as the years rolled on, the promise of democratic elections never materialized. It was always a small circle of very powerful people who controlled the results. But finally, it seemed that for 2017, that we would finally get the full democratic elections, one person and one vote. But the citizens were concerned, who gets to pick the candidates who can run? The government's still going to control that. So in essence, the arrangement was, you all get a vote, and these are the two people you can choose from. People said, well, this is not a democratic election. So with that concern in mind, three Hong Kong men started a movement called Occupy Central with Love and Peace. And the idea behind it was to pressure the Hong Kong and the Beijing government to fulfill its promises for democratic elections. And if they didn't, they were going to mobilize thousands of people to come and block the streets of the main financial district in Central. Well, if you know anything about Hong Kong, you know money is very important there. So the inspiration for Occupy Central obviously comes from the Occupy Wall Street movement and the nonviolent civil disobedience movements of Gandhi and Martin Luther King Jr. Well, who were these three men who were the face of Occupy Central? One was a law professor and a Christian, the one in the middle, that's Benny Tai. The second was a retired Baptist minister and activist, Reverend Chu Yu Ming, on the left. And the third was an academic who was pro-Christian. He wasn't a church member, and his name is Chan Kin Man. So you can see from the beginning that there was a connection to the church, even though it was not organized in the name of any church group. Everybody was invited to be a part, but the organizers still said, this is not only a political quest, this is a spiritual one. And so it's no coincidence that the press conference that launched Occupy Central in early 2013 was held at a church, my church, in fact, Kowloon Union Church. Well, as you can imagine, there were people on one side who supported this as a brave, courageous, prophetic action, and with those on the other side who said, this is the stupidest idea I've ever heard. And there were people arguing on both sides, and it split churches, it split families, it split friends, it split co-workers, and people were arguing in the media and over the internet. And often it was a divide between the older generation and the younger. So I personally thought that Occupy Central was a pretty brave thing. And I was even willing to be a part of a proposed choir that would sing on the sidewalks, sing like Amazing Grace, while other people blocked the streets because I wasn't quite sure I was ready to be arrested. But as it turned out, there never was a choir because Occupy Central was preempted by young people restless to take radical action on their own. And when Beijing government rejected any election proposals for reform, the students mobilized, and you know how young people can do this, they mobilized thousands upon thousands of people to come out and protest late in September 2014. And it wasn't in the Central District. It was mostly in the area called Admiralty, where the central government headquarters are for Hong Kong. And so that night, people kept pouring out and pouring out, and the police were kind of overwhelmed. They didn't know what to do. And they kept putting up signs just saying, no, retreat, retreat, as the people were pushing into the government building. He said, or we'll use force. And such a volatile situation, you can imagine something was going to happen. And someone gave his command to the police. Someone higher up said, use tear gas. And so the police poured round after round of tear gas and pepper spray on these nonviolent young people. And everyone was shocked. And when we were watching on TV, we were just shocked. And that launched the beginning of what's called the umbrella movement. With the yellow umbrella is their iconic sign of defiance and resistance. I'm not sure anyone had predicted how long how these things would turn out, but you know, the umbrella movement was certainly bigger and lasted longer than the organizers of Occupy Central ever had in mind. And there were churches and pastors and Christians who supported this to the very end. And then there were Christians and pastors and churches that condemned this movement to the very end. And by the end of those 79 days of protest, Hong Kong was changed forever, for better or worse. No, we didn't get any concessions from Beijing about electoral reform, but in fact, we even the one person, one vote that we were going to get for 2017, that got scrapped too. But I think no one could say now that in Hong Kong, young people didn't care about the society. No one could say that the church didn't care about the society. But all of us could say that the society and the church were in desperate need of healing and reconciliation. that they may all be one. How is that possible in the situation which we face today? It's important to understand where our unity as Christians come from. Unity is not something we can achieve on our own. The oneness that Jesus prays for in John 17 comes from our relationship with Christ as a community of faith. I like the way that Dr. Lucy Lynn Hogan of Wesley Seminary puts it. She says, we are one in Christ, whether we agree with one another or not. We are one in Christ, whether we like one another or not. To become a part of Christ is to become a part of a community formed by the oneness of God. A community formed when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us to make us one. That means Christian unity is an essential part of our identity and witness. It's not optional. And that's something that churches everywhere need to hear, reflect on, and pray for in earnest. Of course, you may say, well, we may be Christians, but we're not saints. So discord and division in the Church of Jesus Christ has been there since, you know, the beginning of the church, because we know that from New Testament history. And yet, Paul, the apostle, directly addresses this disunity in his letter to the Ephesians, where he says, I therefore, a prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So where is the Hong Kong church now, post-Occupy, post-Umbrella Movement? What's the Hong Kong Christian Council been doing to further Jesus' prayer that we may all be one? What efforts have we made to maintain that unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace? I'd like to share with you three events that happened over the past couple of years, and I think that gives you a picture of what the Hong Kong church is doing now. The first event took place at the beginning of 2015, just a month after the end of the Umbrella Movement. The Hong Kong Christian Council, every January, has a joint communion service for the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity. And it's one of our biggest events. Normally we have about 200 or 250 ministers from all the different denominations coming together. And last year we noticed that the number of people coming seemed to be higher than usual, maybe over 300. And I asked one of my coworkers, why do you think that's so? And she said, Judy, I think after everything we've gone on and gone through in the past 2 years, I think the ministers just felt they needed to come together to pray and share the Lord's Supper. They needed it. That's what the church needs to remember as well, that whatever battles we fight, whatever wounds we carry, whatever sorrow we hold, there is always hope in the house of God. As it says in Isaiah 30:15, in returning in rest you shall be saved, in quietness and trust shall be your strength. The second event took place a few months later in May 2015. One of the things that the church realized after the Umbrella Movement was just how the theological landscape of the city had changed. Occupy Central forced the church into the middle of the public square, and many would say the church wasn't ready for that level of political engagement or theological debate. So some of the seminary professors came to the council and said, would you help organize an all-day seminar on Christian public witness after the Umbrella Movement? And so we did so, quite successful. The theme was like on the road to 2017, if we don't have full universal suffrage, you know, where do we go? So I think we had over 200 people attending that seminar. And afterwards, one of the Baptist professors said, this was an opportunity for us to exchange gifts with our opponents. in the search for truth and mutual understanding. It was an opportunity for us to move together in Christ's name toward a deeper understanding of what we mean by justice, peace, and the welfare for each other. The last event is taking place this year. And as I mentioned earlier, we didn't get the universal suffrage that we wanted for 2017, but we're still having an election for a chief executive, and the church had a role. So the government asked the Hong Kong Christian Council to send 10 people to be on a selection committee of about 1,200 who will select the next leader of Hong Kong. And it's always been controversial whether the church should get involved in any kind of political affairs on this level. And some would say, well, yes, we need to participate. Others would say, no, absolutely don't get involved. So we didn't want to make the decision just by ourselves. We asked the church, we had consultation where people could speak out. We asked the churches to poll their members. And we even allowed people who were totally against us to protest. This banner was hung on one of the churches where we were having our meeting. We didn't know they were going to hang that banner, but it basically says, Hong Kong Church is going downhill. And one of the members from the church, she wasn't involved in the meeting, but she came walking up the steps. She saw that banner up there. She was very upset. I mean, you can imagine if some kind of banner that hanging in front of your church. But we carried on, and at the end, we determined that most Christians and leaders wanted to send 10 people to that committee. But how? So some people got really creative, and they said, okay, let's give the name of the 10 disciples of Jesus for two alternates. And others said, oh, we'll send the name of 10 saints. I said, well, you know, we have to get people who, you know, real people who are alive. So we tried to say, what's the most democratic way to do it? And so we said, any Christian that wants to be one of those 10 people can submit their name with the endorsement of their church, and then we'll put them all together, and we'll randomly pick out 10 names. Not a perfect solution, but, and we know probably we can't change the outcome with just 10 votes out of 1,200. Yet we still know that the church must be faithful, and we have to be constructive with the power we do have. And we do that by seeking justice, peace, and the welfare of every person in our community, that they may all be one. When closing, let me leave you with the words from a hymn by a Catholic pastoral musician, Rory Cooney. We use his songs on our ecumenical radio broadcast, which I'm in charge of. And the name of the hymn is One Is, and it sums up for me what Christian unity is all about, where it starts, where it ends, and how we fit into the bigger picture. If you have a chance, you can listen online to the version sung by his wife, Teresa Donahue. She has the voice of an angel, but I don't, so I will spare your ears this morning. But let me conclude with the chorus from One Is, because I think it's a timely message for the church in Hong Kong, and I trust for all of us today. One is the body, one is the bread. One are the living, the unborn, the dead. One is the cup, one blood in us flows. One is the breath of the star and the rose. One is the spirit with maker and son, just as the source and the river are one. One are the stranger, my foe, and my friend. To this I will say amen. To this I will say amen.